Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirm Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirm and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirm.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy podcast. This is Big, and we got a very special service for y'all. Early access.
Buymeacoffee.com/confirmed.
$5 will get you early access to the episode next day.
And $8 will get you exclusive content as well as early access to the episode. So if you don't want to miss any of the good stuff that we've got going on, then please subscribe to us at buymeacoffee.com/confirmed. Bye.
You're listening to Confirm.
This podcast was produced by B. Haywood for Confirm Podcast Network.
I'm smiling, I can't fuck with different niggas. I don't know you, I might blow you. Better keep your distance, nigga. It's Draco called Collect. Hit you from a distance, nigga. If murder is the mission, bet you end up missing, nigga. Spot a op, send a drop, spin the block and get them, nigga. Energy get matched. We with what you with, my nigga. Earn curfew in the crowd. Hit whoever with the nigga. If my nigga with me,
Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. Got my homie, Lazy.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today? We got another special guest, the owner of Stay Busy Apparel.
Yes, sir.
A good friend, an OG, Big Spud, man. Appreciate you stopping by and coming to rap with us, man.
What's happening? What's happening?
Thank you for coming.
Sir, thanks for having me, man.
Your presence is a blessing, man. I can already feel this is going to be a good episode.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
Before we get into the episode, there you go, round of applause. That song of the day was my cousin's Higher Standards Music, Big Q Thompson on Facebook. Higher Standards Music. Let me get the name of the song. Oh, I forgot the name of the song. Yeah, you can find it at all platforms this Thursday. The name of the song is Thursday.
Okay.
So how you been, man? Tell us.
I've been all right, man. You know, I'm blessed, man. Every day my feet hit the ground.
Yes, sir.
It's a blessing, you know.
Every day you wake up is a good one.
Yes, for sure.
So, I see you wearing your clothing line. Stay Busy. You got the chain. So, where did that come from? Like, where was you?
All my life I've been moving around, doing different things, trying this business, trying that business. And, you know, it's just kind of natural. You know, back in my hood, in my hometown, they used to call me So Busy. You know what I mean? But like, So Busy. You always doing something. You stay so busy.
Yeah.
You know.
Where's your hometown?
In California.
Okay, yeah.
East Palo Alto, California.
Yeah.
You know Devontae Adams?
Yeah.
We from the same hometown.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me and his dad is real cool.
That's near Oakland, ain't it?
Yeah, South Oakland. We like near everything. Near Oakland, near San Francisco, near San Jose.
And that's your birthplace?
My birthplace is San Francisco.
Yeah, man. Living out there, man, you got to be busy to be alive, you know, stay alive and to stay ahead, man, because that's a big city and everything costs a lot, you know. How do you feel about the difference between like the West Coast and, you know, everywhere else you done live, you know, because, you know, everybody say ain't nothing like home.
Yeah, but, you know, really, especially in the U.S., pretty much everywhere is the same. It's just maybe to a different magnitude.
Right, right.
You know, the same thing's going on in Louisville is going on in Atlanta, going on in L.A. It's just smaller magnitude, you know. Right. So if you're a chameleon and you can adapt
right,
and you be who you are, you can survive wherever you at.
Facts.
Okay.
I'm a little hoarse, man. I was at the Groove the other night.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
My partner kind of be up there, so we was over there the other night.
That sounds good.
I got kind of hoorse.
Oh, okay. Would you turn up? You ain't standing on couches.
You get a bunch of niggas together, everybody talking loud. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You know.
I never been to the Groove. You like it down there?
Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
So, yeah. What was your favorite clothing line coming up that kind of like stirred you? You know, you said you did a few different businesses, but what stirred you? What clothing line that was your favorite, you know, growing up?
My favorite probably was Feli.
Okay.
I used to like different kind of Feli sweatsuits, you know what I mean?
You can go crazy with Feli.
You know, I'm older. Back then, we was wearing Calvin Klein, Jordache jeans, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Sassoon, Sergio Valente, you know?
Yeah.
You know, back then.
M. Grant Hills, the ones, it was white with the navy blue patent leather.
The shoes you're talking about.
Yeah, the shoes.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Cool. Yeah.
I had those, like, you know what I mean? I think my third, or you couldn't tell me nothing, man. I had a Feli fit to go with it.
Yeah. Felis was on it, and you can do so much with Feli because it's so colorful.
But the Felis you talking about is 20 years after what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What mean? I'm talking about the be on board, the tennis player.
The jumpsuit.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Back then, yeah. I'm talking about in the 80s, early 80s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the Grant Hills and stuff was in the 90s.
They had the jumpsuit. They had the Fila jumpsuit.
Yeah, they had the Fila. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite times, though, you know, watching movies and watching stuff from the 80s and the 90s.
Nostalgia. Mm-hmm. I'm big on nostalgia, too.
Crazy, man.
So, like, as an entrepreneur, this is a good quality merch. Like, what is some, like, the cons? Like, everybody, when they see entrepreneurs, they see, you know, they a lot of people see the good and the bad. But, like, what is some of the behind the scenes of people, like, the some of, like, the sleepless nights, you know, getting burned, you know?
Yeah, doing a whole lot of work, not making no money sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, problem solving, because it's business, you know? Mm-hmm. And when all the invoices come in your name, you know, you got to, you the person that they talking to.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, it is, you know, entrepreneurship, man, it ain't for everybody. That's for sure. If you not, if you don't want to maybe have to grind and not see no immediate rewards, no immediate success, you probably want to go get you a job.
Right.
Because this ain't for everybody. Everybody ain't built to be a boss.
Right. And ain't nothing wrong with going to get a job.
At all.
You know.
At all. In fact, a lot of times I wish I was sane enough to go get a job, but I'm throwed off a little bit. So I'm, you know.
I'm the same
way. It's in you, man. You got that heart, you know what I mean?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. But believe me, as many a days I get up and be like, shh. But then it'd be that one day somebody will say, oh, man, I really appreciate you doing that, make it all worth it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Dig.
Yeah.
So I see you, Bubba Dub. I see, like, how did that partnership, how did that friendship come about? Like,
Initially, you know, I used to scroll on when I first got on TikTok. I mean, Instagram, because you know, I was late to the social media thing.
Yeah,
you know, it was 2015 or 16, and LaRon was like, because you know, my son LaRon was like, Dad, you need to get on Instagram. I was like, what is Instagram? He said, you follow people and people follow you. I was like, oh, I don't want no niggas following me. I don't want to be following nobody, but I didn't have a business then.
Right.
Then when you start doing business, you realize in the lay of the land now, you have to have social media.
Facts.
So I would get on, you know. So then, of course, once you get on, you get kind of hooked on scrolling. Mm-hmm. And then he had one skit that I thought was real funny. So at the time when I first started the clothing line, you know, at first I was kind of like everybody else, influence or marketing. Ooh, if I could get dude to wear my stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I reached out to him. He got back at me. I shot him some stuff. And at first, it started out like that. Then a couple of times, he hit me when I moved to Houston. And he was like, man, I like them clothes. Man, you should pull up on me and let me grab something from you. So a couple of times, he spent some money with me. And then, you know, we got to talking and we'd have little small conversations. And then I guess it just kind of got organic. First time he had ever been to the Bay, I took him to the Bay, you know.
It's major.
So we kind of got, like, you know, a little organic friendship. You know, I ain't one of his day ones or nothing like that. But, you know, we cool.
Dig.
You know.
And be some of your closest people, though, the people that meet, that you meet, that's not in your family, that's not from your city.
Yeah, he's a good dude. And I like his grind. I can always respect a person's hustle. I might like your talent. But then I'll fall in love with your grind. Right. That's why you was talking about 50 Cent earlier. 50 Cent got a crazy grind.
Yeah.
And you got to respect people that got a grind that's really willing to, you know, lose those nights of sleep and put that work in and when nobody else is watching.
Right.
Because, see, you know, success can be a 10-year thing.
Thanks.
By the time you start seeing somebody, they've been grinding.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you finally got to see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like they didn't just come out of whatever they was doing. They didn't just start 2 months ago and blew up. It don't work like that.
No. Right.
You know, you got to put in that work one person at a time. So that's why I was saying in the beginning, you know, I was being, you know, kind of leaning towards, ooh, if I could get this person well. But then I realized, nah, like, I want the common person to, you know, respect what I'm doing. And I appreciate the person that go in their pocket and pull out their credit card and use their card. And that's the person I respect.
Facts.
Instead of me sending someone. Because, you know, with these influencers these days, they want you to send them the product. You got to ship it to them. They want you to pay. And then they'll say, I put it on my stories for 24 hours.
Right.
What is that going to do?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like you get but on the flip side, you get out here, you go wear Miri, you go wear Balenciaga, you go spend all that money for them, and then you promote their stuff, and they ain't gave you a dime.
Ain't gave you a dime.
Ain't gave you a dime. So, you know, but I ain't knocking have nobody do their thing, but for me, this is going to work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that you're keeping it organic. Like, people got to understand, like, the more organic stuff is, especially like, you showing off your business, your designs, you know what I'm saying, anything that's coming from your mind, the more organic you are, If people catch on to that, they are a fan forever.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want to walk down the hill and fuck one of the cows. I want to, right. you know, run down and fuck one of them. I want to walk down, fuck them all. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, my granddaddy told me that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So you say you lived in Houston, you're from California. And
I live in Houston right now.
Okay, you live in Houston, okay.
Yeah, so I live in Houston right now.
At all the places that you, I even seen you in Columbia, like, at all the places, like, what's your favorite? Like, what's your...
Well, in the U.S., it's kind of hard because I like places for different things. Like, I like here for the fact, you know, I lived here for a while. Mm-hmm. I like it here because geographically, it's close to so many places.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, 4-5 hour car ride can have you in anywhere. A whole lot of places.
Yeah. Chicago, yeah. Atlanta,
Detroit, Nashville, yeah. St. Louis, mm-hmm. Cincinnati. You know,
anywhere
you
can be quick. A lot.
Yeah, real mm-hmm. quick. And then here, I like the seasons. I like for it to be cold a little bit, be hot mm-hmm. a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whereas like in Houston, it's pretty much, I won't say summer all the time, but it ain't getting too cold.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so I like different places for different reasons, you know.
Thanks.
But I always, Louisville was in my heart. I'm red and black right
there
now.
There you go.
I'm red and black right now.
So out of all the places you live, what was one of the places that you can say that like your business, like, you know, how they say certain places give you a certain...
Houston.
You know, ideas. Houston.
That's he said Houston. He did.
Make that's your brand harder.
Black men winning in Houston, man.
Okay. And I heard it from several different people.
You know, first of all, it ain't like you just move there and then the winds knock at your door.
Right.
You definitely got to get up, get out, and go get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are real receptive to black ownership and, black entrepreneurship.
Right.
They're real receptive to that, you know. Yeah. So... that's why I like it down there.
And
it's a different vibe. I don't really ain't too many places in the U.S. and I done been all over that kind of got the constant vibe that Houston got. Mm-hmm. You know?
Okay. I'm gonna say, you say black owned business. I'm gonna touch on something. Y'all familiar with Keith Lee? He said, so he did some reviews in Atlanta and like I ain't gonna say exposed, but he said a lot of black owned businesses prey on black folks. You know, because I'm a shop. You know, I'm black.
I believe that, too. I see that. You go to mm-hmm. a restaurant and the prices are like $5-6 higher than it would normally should be.
Right.
And I think people do prey on that. I do believe that. Definitely.
I was really a black owned guy, but times is hard. Money's hard. I spend my money where I'm treated the best.
And that's where you support. Yeah. And I was great to say, I don't get out here and just promote black owned because, I mean, I want all kind of money.
Facts.
You know, I want everybody money. I don't just want black money.
A lot of it's like, yeah, we want the money. But without, you know, being 32, I've learned that it's about relationships too. So it's like, you know, if it's just constantly pushing back on and you getting fucked in the end because, you know, you messing with this black owned business and, you know, because everybody don't do business well, you know, just because
that ain't just black owned. That's
white too.
Yeah, you know, everywhere people don't do it. But you'll go to McDonald's and your fries will be cold, but then you'll keep going.
Right.
But then you'll come to me and the shirt didn't fit right. Now you blast me.
On the internet.
You know what I mean?
Nah, no lie. I ain't gonna say the lady's name. It was a black owned business. It opened right there where the Burger King used to be on 28th.
Yeah.
They went open. I'm not lying. They went open 10 minutes. She gets the smallest order of green beans, goes right to the internet.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Oh, man, these green beans is cold. I'm like, you just couldn't wait to do that shit? Like, you couldn't. Right.
I hate this shit.
Damn, you couldn't. Like, I done had some bad experiences with black-owned people. But like you say, I'm not going, if my McDonald's is cold, I'm not going to go on the internet.
Yeah, I've had bad experiences with everybody.
Yeah, so I'm not going. I don't blast people. Like,
you got to understand, too, you know, consistency is key. You got to, and when you're in business, you got to try to be right all the time. But, I mean, it's human error. Every time, you ain't going to be right all the time, no matter what you do.
Facts. And I like to do, I like to just give feedback. Especially if it's like, you know, it's not like McDonald's like and stuff like we just said. But if it's like, I get a shirt from you and I like the shirt, but I didn't like how the pants fit. Instead of going to social media, I got a plate from you. And like, man, I like this and that, but I didn't like this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I'm a barber and I love that. You know what I'm saying? I like what you did with the cut, but I want you to do it like this and like that. Oh, man, that's perfect because now I can get it right or how you like it.
Mm-hmm. And it's always a work in progress. Business is an everyday thing. It's always evolving. A work in progress. Yeah.
And I think with anything business-wise, nowadays, everything's moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's thinking at a rapid rate. What's in today might not be in tomorrow, so you got to kind of keep pushing with that, what's the, been the biggest, not the biggest, like with all the businesses that you've done, what's the business that you, you really feel like, man, this is from the heart, like you
this know right here,
win or lose,
this right here. I ain't like no it. Lose. Yeah. Ain't no lose. It's a win.
Right, right.
It's only wins. Mm-hmm. You either win or you learn. And then you still win it.
I like that right there.
You know what I mean? There ain't no lose. Only, the only time you lose is when you quit.
Right.
Because every other time,
you quit.
Even if you keep going, it's like a maze. If you keep going that way, are you realizing, okay, I can't go that way. I got to go this way. Okay, I can't go that way. And then one day you're going, okay, that's the right way. That's the right way. And then you're going to get to where you're trying to go. As long as you keep trying.
A lot of people fail giving up too quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or giving up, period. You know what I'm saying? Because
most people want it, you know, they want microwave success. I'm still a dude. I don't use a microwave.
Yeah.
I heat my food up in the oven.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't use a microwave. It don't taste right to me.
Right.
You know?
It's right, though.
So you say, like, living in the States is all the same. But I say that to say this. I seen you out in Colombia. Like, I'm going to give you your flowers. Like, he sponsored a soccer team down in Colombia. Like, how did that connection, like, what made you, what, how did you end up in Colombia? Like, how did you?
Well, you know, everywhere I go, I network with people. I don't have no problems talking
real
to
people. Hustler.
You know what I'm saying? I got introduced to the guy down there, Willington Cano, and he's from this one area called Camino Trece. And then, you know, like in the 90s, that was like one of the worst neighborhoods in the whole world. You can look it up. It's like when, like the police wouldn't even go through there. The military wouldn't go through there. Ooh, you know, Pablo and him had it on lock over there,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
So, but now, so here's another thing about like over there, like here, we glorify the John Gottis and the Scarface and all that. Over there, they don't glorify Pablo Escobar and Griselda Blanco because they feel like those people brought bad reputations to their country. And probably somewhere, almost everybody there got some story of how some of that violence affected their family.
Right.
So anyway, I met the, so they what they started doing in the late 90s, they started revitalizing the city to try to get their reputation back because it's a beautiful city. The people are beautiful there, you know, and but it always has this stigma. You know, it's like right now, if you tell somebody you're going to Columbia, they think you're either going for women or drugs.
Right.
And that ain't no, that don't got to be the case.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I met the guy, Willington Cano, over there, and he really like a real activist in that neighborhood.
Okay.
And he's a good dude. So we, you know, we linked up and I told him that I wanted to be a part of what they was doing. And he thought that I was real cool. So he was real receptive of it. So, you know, we sponsored some uniform, like 300 uniforms the first time. And they had a whole big old thing and brought me over there. And, you know, we gave out the jerseys and stuff like that. And it's, and then, I, you know, me and him done kept relationships. He actually just is running for city council right now over there. So we just always kept relationships. He's trying to help me open a store over there and get more business going on over there. So, you know, it's just about networking. I want to be a global brand. I don't want to just be, you know, here and nothing wrong with here.
Right.
But I want to be all over the place.
So, like, what would you say, like, the biggest difference between the, like, the States, like, and over in Colombia? Over in, like, what's the...
Okay, well, specifically to Medellin, Colombia, like, they don't... Not everybody, okay? Capitalism is everywhere. But here, we stress over things.
Right.
The average person got more cars than they can drive. Mm-hmm. They got more clothes than they can wear.
Mm-hmm.
They got more food in the refrigerator than they can eat.
Thanks.
You know what I'm saying? So we just be having everything in excess. Over there, they don't live like that. You know, they don't go to the grocery store once a month. They go to the grocery store every couple of days. They buy food fresh.
Right.
You know, the food is fresher.
Yeah.
You know, they not really striving to, you know, people still use public transportation. They ride motorcycles. Like, it's really efficient.
Right.
Because the money's not like here. That's a fact.
Facts.
So, you know, but they proud people. They love their country. You know, I haven't met not one person. I done been to Colombia 10 times. I haven't met one person that said, I want to leave here to move there.
Yeah.
They all say they want to visit, but then they'll straight tell you, but I love Colombia.
Right.
You know, so they got real pride in their country. And I like that. It ain't as violent as people be thinking. I mean, you know, if you're goofy, you're going to get violated wherever you go.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm
saying? If you're looking for something, but if you
keep your head on a swivel and you know, coming from where we come from, we can see it. We know what it look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guns over there ain't really no gun violence because they, you know, they're going to throw you away with a gun over there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the most crime that be going on over there, they be for tourists, they might snatch your cell phone.
Yeah.
They might pickpocket you.
And
you
I
know?
Seen something online one day that, like, certain countries, like Mexico and Colombia, like a lot of stuff that goes on. Like if the people mess with the tourists, they trying like to get you up out of there. Like,
because you're affecting their money.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? People coming up here spending money and y'all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Robbing them, taking their phones. And like those dudes, I don't know if it was Mexico or Colombia where they went up there and they got kidnapped. And then the people like basically found them.
Yeah, they was going to get a...
it was like, I'm sorry.
They was going to get a BBL or something. They was going down there to get something, and they got kidnapped. And
somebody died.
The next day.
Yeah.
They let two people go
because the laws was on them, like, you know what I'm saying?
But you know what I mean? You got to watch where you go everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get scammed around here.
You know.
Yeah. People always be telling me, man, be careful when you'll be over there. I'd be like, nah, you be careful when you pull up at that gas station on 28th Street.
Yeah.
2 a.m. You be careful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Facts.
For real.
And that goes back to what you said about, like, like cities here, most of it's the same, man. Like
it is.
It's a place to be. Like if you look for
media,
trouble,
the media got our minds over here, man. The media got us think that it's all bad when really it ain't all bad.
Yeah.
There's more kids doing good than doing bad, but the bad kids get the publicity.
Yeah.
The good kids don't get the publicity. So then the good kids is looking at like, why be a good kid?
Right.
He get the publicity.
Mm-hmm. Wallow said is if you like they glorify it, like it may be like at 100 people, it may be 5 or 6 or 7 people. Operating outside the law, maybe criminals or something.
Right.
But if you, every time you cut on the Instagram, social media, the news, you got them on the camera, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's what social media is there for, really, to create narratives.
Yeah.
So if they can make whatever they want go viral. Mm-hmm. So if they want the two pregnant girls fighting to go viral, that's going to go viral.
Thanks.
Meanwhile, the 13-year-old kid that just, you know, scored a perfect score to go to Harvard, don't get the same love.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
less shares, less likes.
Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, social media, they can create the narratives on anything.
That's the same way now. Like we share our podcast all the time. I'm not knocking nothing. We preach to all supporters, but we might, you know, a good post might get 30 likes, 40 likes.
Yeah.
Let me and you get on her fighting and trying to stab each other. Yeah. She be going viral. We're going to be on the shade room. Yeah. And that shit's crazy, man.
The world feeds on chaos.
It do. Violence. Like, sex and violence.
You know
the story.
Have y'all seen the rapper D1? He's a light-skinned cat, but he's like a real positive rapper. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He called out Meek. Recently?
He called out Meek Mill. He called out Rick Ross. And
called him out for what, though?
He called him out for... basically pushing the narrative of violence and drugs.
You know, that came. So I was telling my buddy the other day, we was talking and, you know, I don't know, maybe because y'all kind of younger, y'all might don't remember the names like Calvin Butts and C. Dolores Tucker. Well, in the early 90s, those was like, it was Reverend Calvin Butts. And I forgot what C. Dolores Tucker was, but they used to be going at the record companies for paying these youngsters for the music that they was driving them to make.
Mm-hmm.
But what ended up happening, the record company started saying, look, Snoop, they trying to cut your money. Look, Pac, they trying to cut your money.
Right.
So they made the fight about Calvin Butts and C. Dolores Tucker when that wasn't the fight. But then if you go fast forward 30 years and look at what's going on now, that's exactly what they was talking about.
Right.
We don't got no respect for the women. Mm-hmm. We don't got no respect for each other. You know what I'm saying? Everything is kill, kill, kill. Why should you take pride in saying you killed somebody?
Unless
you was defending your family. If you was defending your life, you defending your family. But why should you take pride in being a killer?
Yeah.
You know, and your city being... the murder capital. That's a badge of honor. Why is that a badge of honor?
But
why is it a badge of honor to say you from the murder capital?
And he said to Meek, he said, you got a little Snoop on your chain. He died from gun violence and you're supposed to be putting on for prison reform, but you talking about getting dudes hit at the light on your new record
because
with Ross.
That's what's gonna sell. That's
the
facts.
But you know, you gotta have morals, man. Everybody don't have morals and money, you know, it's a capitalist society out here. Money drives. You know, change your perspective, change your ideas, change your thoughts if you don't know how to handle it.
If you had a chance to push a button to change anything about the world today, what would it be?
Well, the first thing I do in our communities, I do away with the guns.
Yeah.
Because confrontation is just human nature.
Yeah.
But if we box it out later on down the line, we can
talk it out.
Yeah, we can talk it out.
What they say on the movie, if you kill a man...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
you can't never say you sorry. Yeah, you can't never say you sorry for that.
Yeah.
You know, and then most of the time, dudes is getting killed out over here for just nothing.
Yeah.
Senseless stuff.
Shit, it ain't gonna matter in the morning.
No.
So like I said, if in our community, if it was the first thing I would do is probably get rid of guns. Because if you got a chance to live, because if I would have died in my 20s, I would have never been mature enough to think the way that I think now at the age I am.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to think when we in our 20s, early 20s, early 30s, our brains ain't even fully developed. We're not even really, we still trying to figure out who we are and trying to make sense of what's going on around us. We trying to figure it out.
Thanks.
You know, And we can't be, you can't be expected to be making mature decisions at an immature age. Now, some people do. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying some people don't be mature, but the majority of people can be swayed at a young age, you know, and television, that's what it is. Tell live vision.
Right.
That's what it is. It's to paint pictures for you to admire and to respect. I don't even like the whole word celebrity or star. What is a star?
Right.
Somebody you're supposed to look up to, because you look up to the stars, right?
Yes.
I don't want to look up to nobody. I can respect you for what you do, but I don't have to look up to you. Because in the end, we all human, right?
Right. We all got our flaws.
Okay. We all got our flaws. Ain't nobody perfect.
Thanks. So, like, what would you say, like, so how much do you blame the rap music for the violence? Like, how much do you say the music? Because I was listening to some music, bro, and like, I don't listen to, I can't do it so much. I don't hear so much about 30s and sliding and off. Like, how much do you put
it definitely feeds a lot of negativity, but why can't we start with blaming the companies that promote it, right?
Exactly.
Because if dudes wasn't getting checks for promoting that, if you only got checks to promote positivity, what would everybody be doing?
Man, positive rap.
Okay.
Because that was what it was in the beginning.
You get the big checks for promote. So really, a lot of the music, a lot of the images are really just promotions for prisons.
Yeah.
Really?
Have you seen the...
And that's a business booming. Remember that Chirac stuff? Like, y'all blaming these little kids, but what about these executives?
He's
beefing with him. Let me sign him.
Keeping it going.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I seen an interview with Thug, and he was telling them, like, I got these records. It was your boy. He was on the Breakfast Club, too. I can't think of his name, man. He's a big record executive, white guy. And he basically told him, like, man, I got these records. He's shoot them up, kill records. He's like, but I'm trying to do this too, you know. And dude straight up told him, he was like, man, this ain't what we paying you for. We paying you to keep pushing what you're doing,
right?
And stuff like that. Like
right,
this,
right.
You know, for as long as we can.
We the only ones celebrate the disrespect of our community. We the only community that, you know, we celebrate killing each other. We celebrate calling women hoes and bitches and treating them bad. We celebrate that.
Right.
I mean, how crazy is that? But you don't realize that till you get older. When I was in my 20s, I didn't think nowhere near like what I think now. I think I always had morals and integrity, you know what I'm saying? And would always try to be about what I said I was. Mm-hmm. But did I do things for money that now I look back and be like, well, I wish I kind of wouldn't have did that.
Right.
Definitely.
It's really a blessing to make it out your 20s because, like you just out here.
Yeah, especially now. I wouldn't want to be 20 right now.
Oh, no, man. Nah, you can't even fight right now.
I wouldn't want to be 20 right now.
So do you think it's really, that's another nerve they pushing, the men versus women? Like, that's what we try to stay away from.
So I keep talking about in our community because that's all I'm concerned with. Not all, but that's really what I'm concerned with, our community.
It's mainly
I definitely think there's a division between black men and black women. There's a division between black men and black men, black women and black women. There's a division. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to do, you know, even if it's subtle steps to try to change that, you know, all that's not going to change overnight because it wasn't built up overnight.
Right.
All of this stuff is 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years in the making.
Right.
So it's going to take a minute to, you know, but everybody got, you know, you just got to do your part, you know. I try, but I've never been a dude that been real disrespectful of women.
Right.
Ever.
Me either.
You know?
Me neither, though.
And I
got a lot of women, too many women in my family.
Right.
Yeah.
And it just feels weird to me. I've never looked at a woman in her face and called her a bitch. I've never looked a woman in her face and called her a bitch.
Yeah.
Now, I done said, like, damn, it was bitches at the club last night.
Right.
I done said that to them, but I never got mad at them. Fuck you, bitch. You know what I'm saying? I just don't talk like that, you know?
Right.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big. I'm B-Fines. And we're excited to announce our collaboration with Flir. Together, we are offering a brand new course specifically designed for musicians and artists just like you. This course is packed with viable insight, practical tips to help you grow and succeed in your creative endeavors. And if you use our link to purchase this program, we get a little kickback. So I need you to go check. And the link's going to be in the description. In the comments, go check that out. Flir, Big and Lazy, together, putting Louisville on the map. Right. So, like, you said, like, So what, like, not to age you though, but you said you in your late 50s, like at what point did you, like, did it click in?
But
like,
you know you just aged me though, right?
Yeah, I just to the viewers.
I don't want to age you, but he said you in your late 50s, so you know you just aged
me. My fault, man.
Nah, I ain't mad. I don't care. That's a blessing.
That's a blessing.
You know what I'm saying? The only thing worse than getting old is not getting old.
Man.
You feel me? So
like you say, it's all the plan. Like, and I was, I'm watching Snowfall, and they say, you say you're from Oakland, they say like the crack epidemic started in Oakland. Like,
you have people that say that. Uh-huh. You have people that say that in the late 70s, early 80s, that's where crack rock started. There's a lot of people that say that that's valid.
So could you describe like the changes in the community or the changes in the culture, like once it hit?
The big thing was the respect factor, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It used to be yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And the same woman who you said yes, ma'am, no, ma'am to, now 6 months later, she's strung out on crack and she's asking you, she suck your dick for a rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just really a lot of the respect in a lot of things. Once the respect is gone, it's going downhill.
Facts.
No matter what.
Your morals.
Once you and him don't got respect for each other no more,
right?
Y'all friendship going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was the big thing. You know, here it was, you know, when the crack epidemic first hit, I just remember, like, you didn't even have to go to the store. The block was the store. Everybody was bringing their stuff to sell. Mm-hmm. TVs, jewelry, cars, whatever it was. They was just trying to sell it to get hot, you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah. That definitely was a bad time for our community, you know? But that was part of a plan,
that's
too.
That's what I was about to say.
That was a plan, too.
I think the plan worked because of poverty, you know?
Right.
We wasn't really...
So you put 10 mice in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feed them for 4 or 5 days.
Right.
And then you say, I'm going to throw some poison cheese in here. They're going to eat that cheese.
Yeah. They're going to eat the hell, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so. I wasn't around. I was born in 91. But I think from, like, having OG pops and, you know, uncles and just being around OGs, I think, like, the times changed because at one point when black people didn't have enough money, we just knew that. So we was in our community. We, you know, everybody
we worked together.
Eats, you know, everybody worked together.
Yeah, we worked together. It was
it's
more
none of that now.
It was more about, you know, it took a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be outside reckless and your mom could tell me, hey, boy, you better quit doing that. Right. When your mom get home, I'm telling you, and I respected that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell your mom, who you think you're talking to? You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's no respect. It's you know, it's a lot of, I mean, don't let me say there's no respect because there's still youngsters out here with a lot of respect. But I'm saying overall, and a lot of these narratives are being pushed through images that we see, you know, because that's powerful. The images that you see are powerful. So if you're constantly watching Snowfall and Power, and I love those shows, good shows for the entertainment, but everybody don't know how to look at it as entertainment.
Right.
Exactly. Some people look at it as, you know, we watched Scarface a million times, trying to perfect what we thought was going on.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
And a lot of, like with the rap, I think with the rap, it's like, it's always been that gangster rap. Because my dad, you know, I remember being in the backseat and he's playing Diary by Scarface, you know.
But even then, and a lot of that music was messages and cautionary tales.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It wasn't just all about let's get high, let's fuck.
Right.
Fucking niggas, bitches, and just,
women, a lot of women don't really have respect for themselves.
Right.
You know, a lot of men, you know, just a lot of people, the respect level, man, respect is, a lot of respect is gone from our community. That's a fact.
I think in both times, though, with rap, I think you got a select few people that listen to it as just music. Like when we came up, Boosie, made a whole bunch of niggas just want to kill and get money, you know. But then it's like, you had people that are like, oh, man, that's
graphic. Again,
that's crazy. You
did
know,
Lil Bootsy make people do that? Or did the company that Lil Bootsy was selling his music make people want to do that?
I think more Lil Bootsy. I think it's more of, I'm going to keep it real, and I'm a Bootsy fan. It's more of Bootsy because it's like he went the independent route most of the time. He didn't have no, you know what I'm saying?
The DVD, that's the exception, though.
I'm just saying like like the DVDs.
Yeah.
Like Pac was on a major level and it was getting pushed out. You know what I'm saying? But Bootsy was on that level of our level. That's why I call Bootsy a... You feel me? A poverty vulture. That's my nigga. I love Boosie, but all the cities he have his shows at is drug infested, murder infested. He feeds on that because that's what pays him, like we said on the other pod. You know what I'm saying? But I think in all generations, everybody chooses not to do, you know, some niggas that didn't choose to do crack or sell crack.
Right.
You know?
Right. Everybody didn't sell crack. Everybody didn't use crack.
Right.
Everybody didn't kill people. Everybody don't kill people.
Yeah.
But more people out here are not killing people than people that are killing people.
Facts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that small seed fucks everything up, too.
I forgot what I was about to say, No, I was about to, you said about the movies, right? Like, looking back, I followed this one podcast. It's called, I think I want to call it Blackbuster. It's like Big Ja and somebody else. I forgot his name. They dissect black movies. Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood. That shit was detrimental, man. Because as growing up, as fucked up as this sound, I ain't never been to jail. But I thought that was part of a black man, you know.
Right.
Me and my buddies, no lie, was at Taco Bell. Me, Claude, and he was about 4 or 5 of us. And we 14, so
you're
13.
You're giving out their names, right?
Huh?
You're giving out
their names. No, yeah, I'm giving out their names. We wasn't doing that. We was eating tacos.
I'm just messing with you. Giving out their names.
Yeah, right? Man. And we were just on some, man, when we go to jail, man, we was just like planning to go to jail.
Right,
like,
we
ain't doing nothing wrong. We ain't, because I ain't really hang with no, you know, people. You know, I had no knock to you.
You always been a real... pretty smart dude. What middle school you went to again?
Middle school?
Yeah.
Westport. Went to Westport and high school went to Wagner.
Yeah, you was always a pretty smart dude.
So, we just talking. We playing ball, you know. You ain't doing nothing. Yeah. And we just talking. Like, when I go to jail, man, I just thought that, like, I thought that was part of being a black man. Like, when you eventually going to go to jail. Like, and this OG came out of nowhere, man. Just gave us a gang, you know. And it's like some old movie type shit. He said, me, y'all don't want to go to jail. This and that, but... I ain't never been in jail. But I don't do too much to. Yeah. You know, I like smoke a little weed out there.
Right. It's nowhere for it's nowhere for a human being, man.
Yeah. I didn't think I would live to be 30 just off of everything I seen. And I wasn't even in the streets or nothing. Right. But it was just like, man, black men die. You know what I'm saying? Like, at a rapid rate. And I've seen that since a kid. Even with the music, movies, stuff like that. Like,
but black men are succeeding at a rapid rate, too, though.
Facts. I think we all talking about the same thing.
See, that's one of the things. It's like on the news. Why do the news lead off with the murder?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't the news lead off with the guy that saves the cat from out the tree?
Right.
And then get to the murder last. Because most people, after the first 10 minutes of the news, they don't even watch the rest.
That's why I don't watch the news.
You know what I mean?
It's a TV show.
Right.
So
that's what I'm saying. So why can't we always, why can't we more and more try to talk about the positive opposed to the negative? You know, I done got to the point where, like, I don't even like looking at negative stuff.
Yeah.
I really don't. Because, you know, you are what you eat.
Right.
And if I keep looking at negative stuff all day and feeding it, clicking on the negative stuff and listening to the negative conversations, then what's going to come out of that? Negative. Yeah. Negativity.
I was going to say,
I always
that
say, tell me something good. Like, I don't want do. Some good.
And everything ain't got to be about, you know, business and nothing like that. But I don't want to have negative conversations.
Yeah. Because it's going to stick to you, too. Like, it just sticks with you. Like, I was about to say I hate watching the news, and I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news at all, but I probably need to put the social media down more than I use it, you know what I'm saying, because it's the same thing.
If I didn't have a brand and I wasn't pushing the brand, I wouldn't be on social media.
Me, too. I say that, too.
Point blank.
If I didn't cut her,
period, point
I would not have
I'd be walking Facebook around with a flip phone.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I like being, because with a smartphone, all day long, it's text messages, it's emails, it's ringing. You being reactive all day long. You're reacting.
Yeah.
You don't get a chance to be proactive. Sometimes I like to just cut my phone off and just be think about what I need to think about while I'm in deep thought when I'm thinking about what I'm thinking about. Now a text message comes through. Oh, now that just threw me off.
Right.
A phone call come through. That just threw me off. Some days I want to be proactive instead of reactive. So, you know, if I wasn't having a business that I was pushing a brand, I probably wouldn't have social media.
Okay. I feel that, though.
Yeah. I see a lot of people, like, I be trying to plug my podcast. You know, I run into people and, like, it's more than times than not. Like, man, I don't really do social media, man. I'm just on YouTube, man. I'm just on, like, I respect that.
I like
man.
Watching podcasts, though. I like watching interesting conversations. Yeah. I like hearing people's different point of views because we don't all think alike. We're not supposed to think alike.
What's some of, besides this one, what's some of your favorite podcasts?
Y'all want to do that?
Yeah. What's your favorite podcast?
I mean, I don't know if I got a favorite, but I just like I like to hear guests. So whatever podcast that a certain person might be on that I think is interesting, I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. Whether they on Drink Champs, whether they on $1 million with the Game, whether they on Joe Rogan, whether they on Joe Budden, whatever. If it's, you know, Brandon was on a podcast about, oh, this is my nigga Brandon. I'm going to see what he got to say. I'm not really concerned about who's platform it is. Right. I want to hear what he got to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like that too.
Do that make sense?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about it because Joe Rogan be having some good podcasts too, but like some of them guests, like I don't know what the, you know what I mean? Some of them guests be off the fucking wall.
A lot of times with a lot of podcasters get into getting messy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be messy, man. I don't want to always talk about
Howard Stern did every, that for
I don't, give, I don't care how many podcasts certain people go on, they're going to get questioned about Tupac. How many Tupac stories have we heard, man? We've heard every Tupac story.
Man, we got to let that shit die.
Yeah, everybody.
Man,
like, rest in peace to Tupac. And he was, a great artist, and he made an impact on our culture, positively and a little negatively, but that's everything.
Yeah.
But is that all we could talk about? Like, he's been gone a long time.
But 30 years, he's been gone a while. Like,
yeah, I don't want to always talk about what happened. I want to talk about what's happening.
Facts.
You know, because we got to go forward. I don't want to keep talking about what I did back then. That was back then.
Right.
I'm still trying to do things now.
Mm-hmm.
Stay busy, man. We staying busy.
New ideas too, man. Yeah. New ideas is everything to me, man. I feel like.
So how you, I'm going to touch on that a little bit. How you feel about that? KBD.
Oh, what?
Telling him he did it. And he can't even afford a lawyer, though. Like, what was... You better die or something?
I mean, I don't want to keep sound like a broken record, but I just try not to get into that.
Yeah, okay.
Because for one, it has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
And I think... Do I think that a person that actively participated in a crime is kind of weird for you to walk around talking about that all the time, wearing that as a badge of honor? I definitely do. Because I feel like, you know, KVD's around my age, I felt like we came from an era where we didn't talk about... What we did, if we did it, we just did it because the goal was to do it and get away.
Uh-huh.
The goal wasn't to do it and then have a parade about it.
Right.
You know, so, but that's sounds like his problem. It sounds like something he got to deal with. It sounds like that's he made that bed up like that, so he got to deal with that.
Right. What you said, what you always say, Big.
Was the phone?
Man, this shit done changed everything,
and,
man.
And once again, a lot of times, guess what they was doing to get him on the podcast? Giving him a few dollars.
Yeah.
So a lot of people get, you know, it's another guy, I can't think of his name, but every day all he's talking about is the night Biggie died. Biggie Biggie this, Biggie that. Like, what kind of sense do it make for a grown man to every day sit up talking about mess?
Is that Diddy's bodyguard?
Yeah, Gene Deal, big guy. I mean, he's a big goofy like.
But, you know, obviously he has an audience.
Right. Uh-huh.
Obviously those dudes got an audience, and I'm not here to tell them because you end up being who you're supposed to be.
Right.
If you're goofy, you were supposed to be a goofy.
Right.
Yeah.
If you an honorable person, you were supposed to be an honorable person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that in order for somebody to be honorable, somebody got to be goofy. You know,
you got to have
unless you don't know what bad is unless you had it good. Mm-hmm. You don't know what cold is unless it's been hot.
Right, I'm telling you, you'll miss home till you're in the road. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, if you actively talking about crimes that you participate and it gets you in a situation, you got to deal with that.
Yeah. And some people, they like
what they say, loose lips sink ships.
Man,
they do. Loose lips.
And some people though, they don't really. Man, everybody ain't got the morals though to just, you know what I'm saying, live better. Or, you know, they always has been in that if that street funk. If that's the what we talking about, you know what I'm saying. Like he's always probably fed on. You know,
I will never understand.
Murder.
I will never understand people not trying to better themselves.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, financially, mentally, health wise, whatever. I'll never understand people not trying to better themselves.
Yeah. So, how do you feel about people that is trying to better themselves, but you still got people telling them like Kevin Gates, like man, I ain't listening to Kevin Gates. He's weird as hell, man. He changes religion. Like man, to me, that has nothing to do with
his music.
Like
I mean, if you like his music,
it's good that he's bettering himself and stuff like that. Like a lot of these rappers is pushing to be on drugs.
Yeah,
if you know whatever, you got to do what works for you.
You got to.
You can't do what works for him because you're not him. I can't do what works for y'all.
Facts.
I'm not y'all. You got to do what works for you.
As I didn't get older, man, I didn't realize like life is like understanding. Like everybody wasn't raised the same. Everybody come. You know what I mean? Like. Everybody got a different view on everything. And that's why I fell back on social media. Like, you really can't debate. You know what I mean? Them debates and shit is pointless to have the time. Like,
facts.
You know what I mean?
Well, sometimes to me, because I'm weird, I kind of like debates because I like to hear your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Long as the debate don't get personal.
Yeah.
If you asking me what tastes better, Coke or Sprite, I wanna know why you think Sprite tastes better than Coke, you know? Mm-hmm. And then... Okay, then we can agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ain't gonna always think alike on everything. Nobody likes everything.
Right.
Yeah, but to switch it up a little bit, like, you have to stay busy. Like, if you collab with any, you know, you see the collab all the time. If you could collab with any creator or clothing line, like, you know, State Barrel slash Nike, you know what I mean? Stay Busy slash, you know, Gucci, you know what I mean?
Whatever. I mean, whoever is going to help me get out there, you know, to what I'm trying to do. But I don't want to represent something that's not real to me, you know. But that's a good question because I never really thought about that because I've always been just trying to push my thing on my own, you know, because then I control it. I got the say. I got the final say.
Facts.
To me, everything is about freedom. Right. It ain't about money. It's about freedom.
Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Money just allows you to have freedom, right?
Yeah.
You get in jail, you got a good lawyer, he can get you out, right?
Right.
Money just allows you to have freedom. I just want to have enough money to have freedom. I don't want to, if I be like, I don't want to go home tonight. I can stay. I don't got to go.
Exactly. That's that fuck you money. My buddy calls it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody got their limit. Like, man, I ain't got to deal with this shit. Fuck. You know what I mean? Right.
We seen that with Ye, though. Ye thought it was all about, you know what I'm saying? And then once he wasn't free to do what he wanted to do, it's like, man, fuck all this. I don't want to be with Louis and Nike, none of them.
You got what you call it? Could you explain the card you...
This flyer.
The flyers you got for
us. These were 25% off flyers that I was giving out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had an event in Houston. What was that, September 17th? Like a brand awareness event. And we have a bunch of people at a club called Chapman and Kirby.
Yeah.
So we was giving out some gift bags and we gave out some flyers.
So we got a couple of those for you. Stay busy. We'll pass them out. Do you ever been to the Turkey Leg Hut down there? Like, is the food good down there?
It's cool.
Is it better than Louisville? Because they say Louisville got some good food. Like, my buddy in Nap.
No, Louisville got good food.
Yeah.
Louisville's underrated.
Yeah, really underrated
on a lot of different aspects. Thanks. Louisville's underrated.
Uh-huh. I agree.
And people that know, they know. Because a lot of people are like, oh, you live in Louisville? Oh, man. And then we start talking about stuff that even me living around here for a while, I took for granted. Then if you think about it, be like, yep, that is dope.
Yeah.
The Louisville Slugger Museum is dope. Mm-hmm. They've been making bats for 200 years. That is dope. Me?
That's the only bat in the league.
You know what I mean? Now, they got other bats, but for a while, it was the only one.
Okay.
For a long time.
It's crazy, though. Yeah. That's right. The Muhammad Ali. We got Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali is from Louisville.
I always thought that was, you know what I'm saying?
To me, in my opinion, Muhammad Ali is the greatest black man of my lifetime.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Black man, period? Like, five?
In my lifetime. Uh-huh. Just because of what he stood for.
He did.
He fought more than what he...
Just for what he stood for. Mm-hmm. He actually used his celebrity to try to uplift his people like you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. You think Floyd sacrificing 4 or 5 years of his prime to stand? You know what I mean? When we talk about champs, you know what I mean? That Floyd.
I think Floyd's doing what Floyd's... Like he need to do for Floyd.
And it's the perfect time to be Floyd.
Now, we can't talk about Floyd and Muhammad Ali in the same conversation, though.
No.
But they do when they talk about
No,
they
can't. That's disrespectful.
It is. What do you mean by disrespectful?
That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
That's Floyd's a capitalist. Muhammad Ali was never a capitalist.
No.
Yeah, you're right. I remember when he was boycotting. You know, it was one of them boycotting Gucci. They did some old stuff. He was supposed to boycott Gucci. Floyd went out of his way the next day, went to the Gucci store and spent like $100,000. Well, that ain't got nothing to do. I'm like, bro, you couldn't just... order the shit online, and you just went out your way. That's some monkey ass shit, ain't it, though?
You know.
Yeah.
Once again, we can't put those two people in the same sentence.
Yeah.
So, as far as what, though? Because boxing...
Like I said, Muhammad Ali was he was a giver. He was about his people. Everywhere he went, he talked about black people in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Everything he did, he tell you ain't never seen no little short clips of Muhammad Ali going off on the interviewer about his people.
Yeah.
Quit playing with my people. I ain't going to Korea. They ain't never called me no nigga.
What I'm saying?
If I'm going to die, I'm going to die fighting you.
Muhammad Ali sacrificed his career.
Yeah.
The one thing that he was great at, he sacrificed.
Yeah.
Because of what he believed.
Yep.
How many athletes are going to do that today?
Never.
How many of them?
Never.
With Floyd?
Hell no.
You know what I'm just saying? And I'm not, it's not a bash Floyd conversation. No. I'm just saying,
Floyd.
With any of these high-priced athletes sacrifice their career to stand up for their people.
Hell no.
Okay. I don't think so.
Okay. And dude did. When he was the heavyweight champion of the world, at one point in time, his name was only one name known more than he is, and that was Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm.
At one point in time, there was only one name.
Facts. Yeah.
That was...
Just imagine how big he would be in the social media area. He would be...
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
But that's the crazy part because he was just... You didn't hear what I just said.
Yeah.
I just said, at one point in time, he had the second biggest name in the world.
Yeah.
So he didn't need social media. So when you that, you don't need social media.
They're going to know.
They're going to know.
Yeah. So how do you feel about... Because I think the same though. Thing about Pop.
As far as like as boxing though, I'm talking about strict boxing.
Straight boxing.
Straight, we talking
200 some pounds, 6'3", dancing on his toes like a lightweight.
And he ain't ducking
telling
nobody.
You, telling you in the third round, I'm going to hit you with a left cross, a right upper hook cut, and a left hook. And then that's exactly
and
how he beat
and he wasn't ducking nobody. I feel like Floyd ducked a lot.
So where do you put Floyd at on your all-time list?
I mean,
you
Floyd's up there. I like Floyd. Floyd, you know, the man's undefeated.
50-0.
Yeah.
You can't knock Floyd. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, just because I might feel like he didn't fight this person when he should have or whatever, that don't take nothing away.
No, it don't. It don't.
Floyd. And the only person he ducked was, I'd say, Pacquiao. But he lined everybody up.
I think at those weight limits, I pretty much like, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson was before my time, but Sugar Ray Leonard was my time.
Right. Yeah.
And I personally think Sugar Ray Leonard would have beat Floyd, especially like, you know, maybe if they fought three times, somebody would have won 2-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just personally thought Sugar Ray Leonard would box you, but then he would punch with you too.
Yeah.
But you know, Floyd thing is the object is not to get hit.
Right.
So don't get mad at me because I
definitely think he's one of the greatest mechanical boxers.
Yeah, yeah. You can't knock that. The man's undefeated. The man's undefeated.
So prime Floyd and prime
Sugar Ray Leonard.
I was going to say Terrence Crawford, but.
I don't know. That'll be a good one. I like Bud. Bud's hard.
He beat the hell out of Spence, didn't he? But, I love Spence.
Bud come in the first few rounds. Bud just like seeing what you got, what you don't got.
He's very
smart. What can I attack? What I can't attack? And then somewhere around 5 or 6,
turns it up.
He start going.
So is he fighting Canelo? I heard he's fighting Canelo.
Nah, he ain't fighting fucking Canelo. Beat the hell out of him.
Canelo too big.
Yeah, Canelo.
You know he came down to fight Floyd.
Canelo's like 170. Yeah, he's in fight like 160. Like 60, yeah. I don't think Bud's
moving
up. I think
he moved up. Nah, you know, you're going to have to go down to fight the champ.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to go. That was one thing Floyd was good at. Because before he fought Canelo was a big Mexican white looking dude.
Yeah.
When the night he fought him, Floyd was way bigger than that dude.
What you think about Tank Davis and that damn rehydration clause?
It's just smart. I'm the champ.
When he fought Ryan Garcia, like, you think it was like a little cheesy? The Ryan, like the dehydration clause, you can't pick up your weight back up.
Yeah, I didn't really know the backstory of it. I just know he caught him.
Yeah, he caught him. With
I know he caught him. I know Garcia was coming in there real aggressive.
He was
until he got hit, and then everything changed.
I'm gonna tell you who I think would have beat Floyd if he had a better mindset.
Who?
Zab Judah.
Think so.
He was down on his ass, though, man.
He was on his ass. Yeah. But it's this. Yeah. Once Floyd knew I can. Jabbing his nose and he gonna be pissed off. He get aggressive.
It's like last night I went to a fight here. DeMontez Juicy.
Yeah, I seen it on Facebook.
I went to the fight, huh?
What's that?
It was in Portland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, in the first round, older guy, you know, he came out, hit Juicy with his best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of dazed him a little bit, stumbled him. He a warrior. The young dude's a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Got him out of there.
You gotta be a warrior,
blows,
man.
Body blows. Broke him down.
And body blows. You can't, really can't.
Yeah.
That's when I knew I couldn't box. Mm-hmm. My big brother was drinking a cup of milk, and it's my big brother, so I'm just standing there talking to him like, man, you told me, man, on toe to toe, I'm pretty good, you know. He's just guzzling milk. As soon as I was done, he was like, you really want to box? I'm like, yeah. He hit me dead in the stomach, and I was like, damn.
That's the average person.
He said, you think you can take that
right
all
now,
night?
Right now, if me and you fought, I'm going to hit you in the stomach.
I'm
just saying anybody, because the average person can't take a gut punch.
Nah, you got
that level. You ain't even in that level. That shit's...
You know, these dudes will work out. They'll do a million push-ups, but they ain't going to do no sit-ups.
Yeah.
Them sit-ups hurt.
Yeah.
And once it hurts,
that core hurt. When you got to dig down, that hurt, man.
Yeah.
But, okay, since we on sports, if your life depended on it, you got your perfect team. You know, you can pick your perfect team, but your superstar. You got your perfect team, but you need a superstar to cap off the perfect team. Who you taking to win that game?
What sport is this?
Basketball. You talking about
probably Mike.
Taking Mike.
Or Kobe. Mike or Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe was a dog, man.
Mike or Kobe. I mean, you know, like I said, if we need 45 tonight, I'm signing up Mike or Kobe.
This is a newly.
But now, so if I already got a Kobe or Mike type,
right,
then I'll take LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron do it all, man.
Yeah, he going to compliment 6'9", whoever you got.
270.
So who's your GOAT?
My GOAT?
Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the reason he don't get in the GOAT conversation is because his name.
And no, okay, that could have something to do with it. Mm. But he wasn't a perimeter player.
Right.
Uh-huh. So when you were a perimeter player, they got the ball all the time.
But he did everything inside.
Yeah.
I mean, it was automatic. They outlawed Duncan because of him in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I don't think the dude ever lost a college game.
So why you think nobody, the Skyhook?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I still don't know to this day.
Bro, he didn't score 40,000 points on it.
I still don't know why to this day.
You know who I'm going to take? This is probably a newly thing I would say, too. I think I would take Steph, man. Because no matter what, I got a nigga that can shoot six threes on your ass. Yeah. And, you know, a 12-point lead against the Warriors is like four.
Yeah.
You know, a couple Steph threes kinda, go yeah, up.
I like Steph.
Steph
changed
man.
The game.
Changed it, man, because that's all you see now is handles and step backs. That's it.
That's all they want to do.
But let me say this, though. I don't think that made the game better.
No, it didn't.
I think that made the game worse. I think living by three-pointers made the game worse. Yes. The game is sloppy. NBA game is sloppy.
I hate that shit with my own team.
I watch it because I'm a sports fanatic, but it's kind of hard to watch. When only thing you should do, well, you was talking about Paul Pierce earlier.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce shot a lot of mid-range jumpers.
Yeah.
15-footers.
Yeah.
That's how he got going.
18-footers.
That's how he got going.
Everybody now come in, they want to shoot 40-foot threes.
Yeah.
I definitely did for the last game.
I don't care how good. Now, let me say this. If I need one person to hit a big shot coming out the timeout, we need a three.
Yeah.
Or whatever big shot. I want Larry Joe Bird.
Yeah, I'm going Bird.
I want Larry Joe Bird.
You going Bird?
Over anybody.
Yeah.
Really?
Over anybody.
You got to think, Jordan couldn't even beat Bird.
Jordan never beat Bird in a playoff game. Not one game.
You feel me?
Mm.
Not one game. The game he scored 63 and did all, they lost that game.
Still lost.
They did, yeah.
That's why
you taking Bird. One shot.
If we got one shot, we're going to come in at the timeout.
Uh-huh.
We're going to draw up the play. We need one big shot. I want Larry Bird.
You know, Larry Bird told one of the black players on another team, was like, man, who got me?
Yeah.
And he's like, man, him. The white dude. He was like, no disrespect, bro, but you know.
Uh-huh.
This is not
going to. They told Isaiah that.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't got no brothers that can guard me?
Yeah, it's over with.
Don't do that to me.
Yeah. Don't do that. That's a cold-blooded white dude. And he from. What, Indiana?
French Lick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever been to French Lick?
Yep.
I didn't roll past that time, so I never.
I've been through there. I've seen the big
mural.
Been
to the casino?
No, I never been to the casino down there.
No, I don't go to
the I'm taking Shaq. Give me one game. Give me prime Shaq.
Shaq?
Yeah.
You going to drop the play and you're gonna drop the play and run the play to Shaq?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shaq.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shaq was a beast.
Yeah, he was.
Shaq was a beast.
You know, that's what, what Kobe
but
said.
But if you foul him, he might miss the free throws.
Yeah.
Like, Bird ain't missing no free throws.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
Shaq might miss the free throws. He might not, but he might.
What Kobe say?
They changed the rules for him, too.
They did.
I'm going to throw the oop to Shaq and we going to win.
But I couldn't tell you last time I watched the NBA game, sat down and
you know, I remember you said that.
I watch parts of the game. You know, when they on, I watch parts of the game because I like players. I still like the entertainment of the NBA. You know, but it's football season right now.
It is.
NBA got to take a back seat.
Who's your favorite team?
I'm a Miami Dolphin.
The Dolphins?
All my life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've always been a Baltimore fan.
Why the Dolphins?
I just think when I was young, they kind of was the best team.
Oh, yeah.
I liked the colors and I don't know. They had a guy, Paul Warfield, and I just thought he looked dope out there, you know what I'm saying, as a wide receiver. So, yeah, I like
the refs is fucking up the sports for me. Like, I still watch it all, but it's like,
but it's all soft,
like,
man.
It
it's
is,
all
soft. Man.
You might have the number one.
In football, you can't tackle.
Man, in college, you might have the number one or number two dude in the nation leading in tackles, and he go out, he get ejected the first quarter for a good tackle.
Yeah.
Man, that shit. All I'm saying is, like, my kids, they play football. I would like to see it to be a little safer. You know, I don't want, you know, people dying on the field, but it's like,
we'll go play
you know
soccer.
What you signed up for, though.
go play soccer.
You know what you signed up for. I mean, definitely,
being honest,
man.
You know what you're doing. You know, when you put on that helmet, you got on the helmet and pads for a reason.
Definitely.
You do know that this can be.
Yes.
You know, and nobody wants to see it.
Even with my oldest, I told him, I said, like, I used to drill in his head, like, hey, man, keep your head up, man. You don't want to break your neck, man. Every year, this year, his last little year of junior, he was like, Dad, like, I'm out there. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like sometimes I'm trying to lay a lick.
How do you feel about the NIL? Like, players getting paid now. How do you feel about
that? I think that's good because the college has been getting paid for years.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think if you're going to be able to sell my jersey and make money off it, I should be able to make some money off that too.
Yeah. So
how you feel about it?
I think they should be getting paid. I think it should be a little more regulated. It's getting kind of wild. And with that transport portal, like,
I don't like that.
That shit.
As soon as I feel like we ain't gonna win, I'm out of here.
Yeah, come on, bro. Like,
I like it, but it's like
dudes be in college 6 years and play for three teams.
Man, that's crazy. Especially man. Football. Like, that's my thing is with it, though. Like, I'm all for it. Especially, like, Lamar's. Like, you know, they should have been got some dust. But I feel the same way about legalizing weed. I love weed. I love that it's being legalized. But, man, freedom dudes that y'all got locked up for the weed. Give Reggie Bush his Hasman back.
Yeah.
You know, like, damn, like, y'all took a lot of money from brothers that took money in college. You know, back that, in the day.
They could do it, but if you give Reggie Bush his money back, you got to go, you got to give Michigan and Chris Webber. You know what I mean?
What's his name? UMass. Yeah,
you open up a couple of
Marcus
ones.
Marcus Camby.
Yeah, you open up a can of worms.
You got to go. Yeah. Yeah, I give hell Louisville. They got to get their banner back.
Man,
you know what I mean?
Back.
Hey, man.
Facts, man.
What do you think is wrong with Louisville? You think we need to go and dig Rick Pitino, like call?
Once again, like I said, y'all begged for that. Y'all got exactly what you wanted. When I lived around it, everybody, all they could
even when it happened, people were saying fire.
Even when they would get rid of Rick, and I used to be like, get rid of Rick for who and for what?
Yeah.
He wins championships. He's every year you win in 20 games. You're competitive in the conference. Mm-hmm. You may go to the Final Four. I mean, every year. Now, look, Rick been gone. How long has Rick been gone?
5 years, six years, something like that.
And when that happened?
Turmoil.
My cousin said they went to the Louisville game the other day. You could have sat where you wanted to sit.
Turmoil.
You could have sat on the bench if you wanted to. You could have sat on the bench.
So do you think her job, I ain't going to mention her name, do you think her job was done, like well done?
Fuck her.
Who? Damn.
Man, we ain't going to mention her name.
Yeah, shorty, because I mean, that's what she...
But here's the thing.
I don't know what she wanted.
The people been wanting Rick gone.
Yeah.
And that was just the igniter. Because if they didn't want Rick gone, that wouldn't have stopped nothing.
Nah.
He might have got suspended. He might have had to miss
stick bam. I'm like, why we ain't sticking by Rick, man?
Because
like,
guess what? Give Rick two more years, St. John's going to be in the Final Four.
Facts.
Give Rick two more years.
He's still working.
Rick's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches in college basketball history.
Even if he stopped today, he will. He will.
A lot of them old heads and hung it up. But like you said, Rick, he wants that other Final Four. Rick ain't did nothing but win.
Look at Rick. Rick look old and beat down to you? Rick still got a passion for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Rick said, what would I do? If I didn't coach basketball, what would I do? There's nothing I would want to do. So as long as he, you know, is able to do it and he's providing and educating and teaching, he loves it.
Facts.
You know?
And he's a winner, man.
Everybody used to be like, Rick is arrogant. Who's successful don't have a little arrogance
in
him?
You know what I'm saying? And
you have to have a little arrogance in him.
I like that. I like that in the leader.
Three Final Fours, three schools?
Yeah.
Providence.
And he done been in the NBA.
Two different schools.
You know, it's just successful. Yeah. Like, if you got a record.
I don't know what y'all wanted. Y'all got what y'all wanted. Y'all
no,
got,
I,
y'all,
I didn't.
I ain't gonna lie. I was one. I had a lot of y'all.
I always liked Rick. I like Rick.
I've been running around defending Rick for 10 years.
You want to know small things why I like Rick?
What's that?
You might see Rick get mad, but Rick did something that I, as a coach and as a man, like you said, the arrogance. When we was losing that game, he came out in the white suit and he came out in a whole nother suit. It's like, and we won. It's like, all right, let's stop the bullshit, flashy shit.
Rick Pitino had 22,000 in the goddamn Yum Center on a Monday. You know what I mean?
Come on, man.
Every night.
I'm sorry, Rick.
I was one of them to want you gone. Come on back.
But let me ask you, why did you want him gone?
When he first came, but he got better once Calipari got here. But between like that first decade here, he missed on a lot of talented players. He missed on Rondo, Amir Johnston.
Everybody's gonna miss on some players.
Yeah. He missed on a lot. Then when he got some talented players in here, I felt like he was holding them back.
One thing, Rick do want to win games.
Yeah.
Rick want to win games. So he don't really care what you do when you go to the pros, which, you know, it's a different mindset. Cal's thing was, I want to make guys millionaires.
Right now.
Right. Rick's like, I want to win games in college. Yeah. I'm a college coach. I want to win college games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was looking at Calipari. Calipari, would you say his tenure at Kentucky, like you said, him and Rick Pitino got the same number of championships.
I think.
But Calipari got $6 billion in the NBA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but far as a college basketball coach go, I think he's underachieved. But now, as a gateway to guys taking care of their families, I think he was he's definitely perfect for
that. What did he tell Cousins? The cousin said, man, I really want to come back and do it again. He said, you want to make me rich or do you want to be rich?
Yeah.
But, I mean, who did he have that went in the first round, wouldn't have went to the first round if they'd have went to Bellarmine?
Right.
Who? Right. You know what I'm saying?
Who did he make?
They get all these talented dudes every year and y'all don't win. Shit.
Right.
Who put them out?
I know that's a big thing here.
Saint with the Peacocks. If the Peacocks can can go to the Final Four and shit like that. Like,
they beat Kentucky that year, didn't
they? Yeah, but I'm saying is it means something going to the Final Four. It means something getting, you know, winning your conference.
A lot of money generated with that.
But then, like, we won championships. Rick will get you there. Francisco Garcia, I'll get you all the way there, but then we don't go over the hump. Yeah. It's like, shit, that's why people didn't like Rick. It's like, damn, we get so close. But I like Rick because that was my coach since childhood, you know. Yeah.
How does it feel now?
It sucks.
Man, the grass ain't greener on the other side.
It sure ain't, man.
You know what they say, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Yeah, you just might get it.
I think we need a pro team or something just to revamp or something. I don't know.
So who would you say is the greatest? What's the greatest college basketball team you've never seen?
Like, the greatest college basketball team I saw might have been UNLV with Larry Johnson and them. Okay. Uh-huh. It was pretty nice. The Fab Five was real nice.
Fab Five.
Yeah.
Jalen Rose. Shout out to Jalen Rose.
Yeah, yes. It's been some pretty good teams that had a lot of talent.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Anthony Davis now in Kentucky.
Yeah, they had a lot of talent.
They was just dominating.
They definitely had a lot of
talent.
Did
they win a championship?
Yeah, they won a championship.
Okay.
It was games.
I can't believe John Wall and them didn't. They was loaded.
They ran to a buzzsaw, though. They zoned them, boys. They zoned them, and Kentucky fell right into that trap. Yeah, they wasn't no three-point shooting team. John Wall still can't shoot 15 years later.
Right.
But
John Wall still play?
Yeah.
No, when
last time
you
saw John Wall play?
He don't fucking play.
He don't play?
He getting money, though. He's robbing the NBA.
When last time you seen John Wall play?
I haven't. You're right.
Oh, okay.
You're right.
Yeah, they ain't.
I like dudes that play, man. I can't talk about somebody that don't play.
Ah.
Facts, though.
I got to talk about dudes that play.
You know how bad you got to be if the nigga pay you $40 million not to play? He's getting like 45.
Or do I know how bad the contract is?
Right.
Yeah, it was a terrible contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, those people make guaranteed money off of them, so they should make their guaranteed money. I ain't never knocking nobody that ain't hurting nobody for getting their money.
Facts.
At all.
No, Melo on that for a minute, too, when he went to...
But Melo played, though.
Yeah, he played. I'm just saying, like, he didn't play a game in Atlanta, and they still had to pay him. Yeah, they still had to pay him after he left. So, and your boy, KG, said the Celtics paid him for years after
he's still getting paid. Yeah. Like $5 million a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To like that 2024. Was his contract.
That's
crazy.
I love KG, man. That was
me too,
I like
man.
KG too.
Uh-huh. You know, he a real vice lord and shit like that, man. I think if he had a movie, it's going to be incredible because he said that, like, the older vice lords and stuff before he was really, like, you know, he never really been in the...
You know, I lived in Chicago when KG lived in Chicago that one year.
It's crazy.
Really?
They said the dope dealers would go get him and take him hood to hood to kill for money. Like,
yeah.
He's her.
They said they had to put his games in the United Center.
Yeah.
No, so I actually went to Farragut. I went to Farragut and seen a couple of his games.
If I was in the NBA,
they had another dude. Yeah, I was going to say they had another dude on the team, Ronnie Fields. He was pretty good.
If I was in the NBA, though.
He had an accident. He had a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
He had a car wreck.
Did he get paralyzed?
No, he didn't get paralyzed, but
he was messed up.
Yeah, he was messed up for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then, I mean, you know, he ain't paralyzed or nothing, but he was messed up for a while.
If I couldn't do nothing, I would want KG's.
Like,
I love that. Like when they said, "What's your boy Noah?" Noah. He said, "Man, I love you, man. You one of my favorite players."
Shut
your bitch ass up. Get out of my face, nigga. During the game, like we ain't even on the same team.
Do you remember Shea Cotton out in California? Yeah. I just watched his smoke. All the smoke.
Okay.
Yeah,
I seen that too.
All the smoke with Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles.
Now it's knuckleheads. All the smoke. Stephen Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stephen Jackson. Yeah.
And what's his name? Matt Barnes.
Yeah, Matt Barnes.
Yeah, I like hearing. But you know, I just some of those. Like I said, I like to hear the people's stories that they talk about.
Yeah, I love stories.
But then
too.
When they start getting into their opinion about people and all that, that's kind of where they lose me because I don't want to do that.
Right.
What's your name? And then broke.
I don't want to be somewhere, downplaying other black men. Black women.
That's why I quit listening to Stephen A. That's why I quit fell off Stephen A.
I don't watch SportsCenter at all unless it's a game on.
Yeah.
But the early morning shows, I don't watch them at all.
None of that shit.
That shit done got out of hand, man.
Yeah, I don't watch
it. Like you always say, like the conflict, certain conflict makes me, especially with between men, it's like, come on, man. Like, we men, we can't sit here and talk about sports and leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Shit, but if I could change one thing about all of that, like the podcast and the conflict, man, the relationships, man. People be doing a lot of shit and getting people together just to have something. You know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff goes under because you know, like, what's your, Gilbert Arenas? Mm-hmm. Like, man, if that's hit Gilbert's show, man, you should know Gilbert Arenas is one of them niggas that's going to go above and beyond. The, like,
I like Gilbert.
I fuck with Gilbert, but he gets under certain people's skin, too, and he know how. Mm-hmm. He gets away with it because it's pie. Certain people like the conflict, but,
so
you know, some of the arguments get, like you said, personal.
Mm-hmm.
We talking about sports.
Well, that's for views, though, right?
Yeah, for facts. Click.
That's facts. For views.
So how do you feel? Like, would you rather have be one of them players like a John Wall that made bank and ain't really won nothing, have less on the contract and maybe won?
Anytime you're competing, you want to win.
Right.
So, you know, if that's what means something to you, winning means more to you, then, you know, of course, everybody want to get compensated.
Mm-hmm.
So would I rather take $50 million and no championship or $30 million or $20 million and a championship?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably take the $50
million. Yeah.
No ship.
That's what Gilbert said. He said, give me $500 million every time.
I'm just being honest. I'd probably take the $50
million. Because he pulled up. He said, I can go buy a championship ring right now.
Right.
For $15,000, you know.
But now, when the championship winners sit over at that table, I can't go over there.
Right. Yeah.
See, that's what I was about to say.
Because Shaq turns Barkley's ass.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I was just about to say, though. When they sitting down and they talking about, it always rings.
Yeah.
Like, even my son, he 12, and he's like, you know, we in the shop, everybody talking about, he was like, if we talking rings, Wilt is the GOAT. Wilt is the GOAT.
Bill Russell
is the GOAT, Dad. Right. I don't want to hear nothing else about it if it comes to rings. And I'm like, you're right. But it's, you know, the OG in the shop was like, man, they didn't have a 3-point line. They didn't have, he said he was playing against
all. I mean, the game is definitely,
you know, it's
elevated.
Definitely different.
The game definitely elevated and evolved, even from when I started watching with Dr. J.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So I'm going to ask you this. I drew another blank. What was I about to say? I drew a blank. Man, I got to leave the weed alone, man. Don't smoke weed, children. Don't smoke weed. I drew a goddamn blank.
Yeah.
But
we can talk about Stay Busy Apparel.
Stay busy apparel. There you
That's
go.
What we could talk about.
Uh-huh.
You already told us what it meant, but what does your brand mean to you overall? Like,
well, to me,
like in the end, not the end, because you know you got kids.
I feel like this. I feel like my brand is it's a brand based on a lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So anybody that's motivated, mm-hmm. that know that you got to constantly keep grinding,
right?
You know, you can resonate with that. That makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a brand based on a lifestyle.
So if you could do one thing outside of clothing with Stay Busy, what would it be like?
Sports.
You know, like
sports.
Drinks,
sports,
stuff like that.
Sports.
Okay.
Because I already got another brand, Stay Busy Athletics.
Okay.
So that's what I did.
That's hard.
That's mm-hmm. Over there in Columbia, that's the jerseys they got, Stay Busy Athletics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want to do all that. NIL.
I definitely think you should
do NIL. I want to do shoe deals with youngsters. Just think.
Sky's the limit.
Just think if I got a guy in 11th grade.
Yeah.
And tell them you can have your own signature shoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I think you should definitely get in with these, it don't even have to be local, but some of these little league teams, man, they be so, like, needing that.
Right.
Needing that.
Right,
Just,
and it start with the youth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, older dudes, you know, in so many ways, we don't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel you,
Nobody's
though.
Checking for the 50-year-old guy.
Ain't nobody checking for the old ass. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand how Stay Busy Apparel is coinciding with the big and lazy.
Uh-huh.
Stay Busy and Big and Lazy is kind of like the polar opposites, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Mm. There we go. They say opposites attract, though.
It's a fact.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to mess with you anyway. You family.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
People ask me all the time, like, man, why lazy? You know, Lazy Fool's my rap name. Like,
yeah.
Why?
Okay.
I'm like, man, because I'm a lazy dude, but I use it as a force of, like, endearment. I don't like to hear you lazy. You ain't doing what you need to do.
Uh-huh.
Well, I heard Bill Gates say.
And I grew up, my mom used to be like, you lazy, boy. You,
mm-hmm. Mom's still
coming. I heard Bill Gates say he liked to hire lazy people because they find an easier way to do things.
Facts. That's facts.
Yeah. You
know, that's facts. And I just use it as a.
I just don't even like
that.
Something about that don't sit right with me.
Yeah. I feel you.
But that's me, though.
Yeah.
I come from a different era.
Uh huh. Right?
You know, nobody gave you anything. If I went and got $5 from my auntie, mm-hmm. she made me cut the grass, wash the car, move some furniture, something for this $5.
That's how my dad was.
So he said
you know what I'm saying?
This generation is lazy, like entitled. Would you say that it's entitlement?
It is a lot of entitlement because as parents, we always want our kids to have what we didn't want to have and we didn't want to make it easier for them. But then on the flip side, we brag about how things being hard made us who we are, but then we turn around and do the direct opposite with our kids.
Right.
So which one is it?
You're right though. You're right though.
That's crazy.
I think I'm traumatized.
We make a salt for life, like, you know, it's crazy.
I think I'm traumatized. Like, how my dad and them did us.
I spoil my kids. I mean, do you? I mean, what would you do?
I seen this girl say,
"Do you drink spoiled milk?"
Right, no. You don't.
Oh, okay. You throw that out, right?
I seen this girl say on Facebook. She said, "If your kids don't know, don't think you rich, you ain't doing something right." And I said, "That's my morning routine. Is we ain't rich. Everybody got to get up and go do something." Because that's what my daddy used to wake us up and say. It ain't no. And you feel me? As soon as he hear somebody doing some lazy shit or didn't do something all the way through, you done fucked up your whole week.
Well, you don't want your kids to grow up and have to depend on you.
Right.
Because what happens if you vanish?
You want them to be able to stand on their own.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
I take pride in the fact that my kids take care of their own.
Yeah.
They take care of them and their kids.
Yeah. Definitely. Solid. So yeah.
I feel like as a father,
that's the goal.
I kind of did my job.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say raise your kids so you ain't got to raise your grandkids. Yeah.
Right. Now, the grandkids is who I'll spoil.
Right.
The grandkids who get Stay Busy Apparel left to them.
Yeah.
That's
generational.
And that's what I was saying.
You're not leaving it to Bob.
Leave it to Bob's son.
And then
Bob got to leave his to his grandson.
Generational wealth. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
To me, that's how I feel.
But that's what I was saying though. Like in the end goal, when you said and done, where would you like to see your brand?
A global brand that's still sustainable. Mm-hmm. That's still people still, you know, wearing it. It's still being out there.
Yeah.
You know. I sit around some places and I be like, I see all the Nike, I see all of this, I see all of that. I be like, man, I don't see nobody with mine on. I got to keep grinding.
Right.
Yeah. I need to see some people with mine on with that because they got that mindset.
Mm-hmm. You just took my next question. I was going to say what still inspires you is, you know, being an OG to us and, you know, us really sitting down listening to you. Right. You know what I'm saying? I was going to say what inspires you to, you know, stay busy, man. Like,
because it's really natural. It's organic. Right. This is what I do anyway.
Right.
So, if everywhere I go, I'm promoting, I'm advertising, mm-hmm. I'm networking, that's what I do anyway.
Right.
You know, so.
Comes natural to you, huh?
It really do.
I think this, have you ever did a pod or anything? Because I feel like this came real natural too, bro. Yeah. Like,
got
like,
your feet crossed.
I mean, but I mean, we just sitting there chopping it up though, right?
Facts. Uh-huh. Facts. Right. But you dropped a lot of game on us, bro. So, and I think one thing that you did that makes you successful as an OG, you adapted to the social media. Some OGs can't, you know.
I don't think I'm good at it. I just know I got to keep doing it until I can get somebody to do it for me.
Right. Just along the side, you said how you know, write people and trying to get them in your clothes. Like, it's certain young people don't even think like that. Like, let me write so-and-so and see if they'll wear my stuff and see if they'll write back.
People buy from people they like. Yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So
influencer marketing.
This is kind of really off subject. Were you a fan of Kevin Samuels? Was you?
I believed a lot of things. I mean, well, I agree with a lot of things that he said, but I think as he got more successful, I think he started being a lot extra because of the ratings.
On the show? Yeah,
so then I started looking at it like, now you're starting to be disrespectful to women to lace your pockets. And I just don't agree with that, man. Mm. I think as black men, we are supposed to be protecting black women at all costs. Even if you got a problem with a woman, call her and talk to her. Don't go blast her.
Mm-hmm.
Women are emotional, man. These are our mothers, man. These are our queens. Yeah. How do we want these women out? That's why most of these women's actions are reactions to our actions.
Thanks.
And they're not supposed to be raising kids by themselves. They're not supposed to be doing some of the things that they're doing.
Pac said this shit would be going on, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm trying to tell you. The late C. Dolores Tucker, Calvin Butts, they were saying the same things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they made the fight about them and the artists because the artists didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Playing puppet master.
Right.
Yeah,
put that bug in your.
Right.
Definitely.
But this is probably one of the most deep and versatile podcasts we've had. Like, this is real dope.
No, I appreciate y'all, man. I like what y'all doing, especially when Bobby told me that you was doing a podcast. Uh-huh. I was like, yeah, for sure I'll go mess with you. That's fam, man.
Yeah, real time.
Your brother, your mom, your uncle, your granddaddy, your grandma.
It's crazy, man.
Is this your mid-90s? Yeah.
Yeah, with your whole family. You know what I mean?
It was crazy. Since you can tell good people come from good families, man. You know? I'm telling you, man.
So the podcast is Big and Lazy. So you got to give us something big, something good to eat, and lazy, something good to watch.
Something good to eat.
And you've been all over.
Y'all eat lamb chops?
Yeah, I fuck with lamb chops. Yeah,
lamb chops is good. Uh-huh. I like lamb chops.
From where? Like a certain place? Or
I like even if you make them yourself. Style. Yeah, I like Jamaica. I like the jerk lamb chops.
I ain't never had a jerk chop.
Yeah, I like jerk lamb chops.
Mm-hmm. You know, I worked there, so sometimes he would do some shit like, you want to eat some shit that's not on the menu? Yeah. The first time I tasted goat.
You know, I try to eat somewhat healthy, but I mean,
it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm not a vegan or nothing like that, but you know, I ain't no glutton either. I'm rocking around every day just eating any and everything. Sometimes, you know, I try to exercise a little bit. I try to, you know, drink a lot of water. I try to eat a lot of fruit, a lot of vegetables.
Balance.
Yeah, chitlins? Nice
balance. Not never in my life.
You ain't never ate chitlins?
In my life.
Ah, wow.
I can't get past the smell.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people say,
right? And then when a person told me what it is, why?
Yeah.
Why? When a person told me what chitlins was, why?
Yeah, I had a mouthful when they told me.
No, come on, answer. Why?
Facts, though.
Why? I guess. I don't know. We have slave food. It's a slave mentality.
Do it taste good to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do it?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. I'm just, I don't know. I don't know what it tastes like.
Yeah. I had a mouthful. I was eating in my kitchen.
I've never been interested in knowing what intestines taste like.
Man. It's facts, though.
You ain't never ate chitlins or nothing? No, not said chitlins. Pig feet? Or?
I've never eaten none of that. Now, when I was coming up, I used to like pork chops. I used to eat ham. I haven't eaten none of that stuff in a long time.
Yeah.
I ate a pork chop last summer off the grill, but I hadn't had a pork chop in a long time.
I don't really mess with the big pork. I told you, I'd probably never eat chitlins again. And this lady I was fucking with, I'm like, you gonna get some, I'm gonna down there eat some chicken. We was down in one of them little spots in the hood. I said, they got that pig feet out there for you. She's probably in her late 50s. Nigga, she turned around to me. She said, my granny never said, don't eat that slave food. And I just seen it in her eyes. Like, I'm not a slave, so I'm not gonna eat like a slave. And I probably never eat chitlins. My mom was like, you want some chitlins this year? I'm like, nah, I'm cool. I'm like, I ain't even.
Why? I just want to know why. People that eat chitlins, why? If they say it tastes good, then
I can't remember how they taste. But I remember my mama had to clean them.
How could that taste good?
I don't know. It's pretty. Yeah.
How could that taste good?
I can understand.
And I can understand the making something out of nothing with our people.
No, but that was survival
mode. I feel
mode.
You on.
You
I
can ain't understand. Slaves no more.
I can understand. Yeah. Maybe that was survival mode. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But we're not in that mode no more.
Facts.
When you know better, you do better, right?
Right. And we got to look at our ancestors and what they ate, man, and why a lot of them didn't live long, long lives. Yeah.
Right. And why we're not living long, long life. Mm-hmm. Why we got high blood pressure, diabetes, hypertension,
same shit.
Strokes, same heart circle. Attacks.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
We eating bad food and we lazy. We big and lazy.
Thanks.
We're not eating right and we big
Don't
and lazy.
Be big and lazy. Just watch the pie.
Yeah,
man.
Just watch the pie, man.
It's not in your DNA, it's in your diet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because what good do it make to go out here and make all this money? Steve Jobs had all the money in the world and couldn't get over that illness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Health is wealth, man.
Definitely.
I'd rather be healthy than wealthy.
Me too.
Me
though.
Personally.
Yeah.
Me too though.
You know?
So give us something good to watch, man.
Man, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but I watch a lot of like documentaries.
Yeah,
me too.
I watch a lot of documentaries.
Uh-huh.
Let me think of one. It's a good one. You know, it's crazy. I just watched a documentary the other day about Wells Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that one?
I think I did.
Wells Fargo be on behind the doors, opening up accounts in people's name. They don't even know about it, charging them fees, and I'm making billions of dollars every year.
Really?
See, I like watching stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they said something on there about the Titanic, too, about the Wells Fargo dude invited all the rich homies.
All his competitors.
And then he took them down?
And then he just hopped off the
ship. And the next year, guess what opened? Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Business is war.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Business is Facts. War.
It is, bro.
Facts.
That's what the dude from McDonald's, he said, the dude that stole the McDonald's.
Now, I like that. You saw that movie, Founder?
Yeah.
That's a good movie. Okay, that's a
it
good
was. That was good.
Founder.
He said, competition, if you see a competition drowning, I'm going to go put a water
hole in
your mouth.
He was happy. Yeah. He was happy. He was happy about it.
But he was a go-getter.
Yeah.
And he was in his late 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Found success. But it was a pleasure talking to you.
It definitely was. I
appreciate y'all.
Where can they find you at? Where can they get
the clothes? StayBusyApparel.com. You can shop at www.staybusyapparel.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow me on Stay Busy Apparel on Instagram, Stay Busy Apparel on Facebook.
Okay.
Stay Busy Apparel, man.
That's what's up, man.
Follow me, _BFINES. You can follow our platform on Big and Lazy on everything. TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Big and Lazy Pod. I follow back.
Yes, sir. Follow me on Greedy and Lazy _USA on Instagram. Tajay Thomas on Facebook, man. It was a pleasure having you, man. Your insight on life.
It's a pleasure being here, man. It's a pleasure being here.
It was dope, man. It was real dope.
I like what y'all doing, man. Keep
grinding, man. Appreciate that. Hey, one more thing. So if you had to get somebody on here real quick, Who could it be? But you got to get him. You won't see him on here, but you got to get him on here. Get him on here.
Lil Juicy. Get Lil Juicy on here, man.
Lil Juicy?
Yeah.
Okay, do it for
DeMontez,
us, man.
I'll make the call, see if I can make it happen.
Yeah. All right, that's the
best. Definitely.
Bitches, nigga, I'm a straight drop, big Glock in the trenches, nigga. You a knockoff, step on, bad for business, nigga. Look, I don't want your shorty, I might rent it if you lend her. Have her back by dinner, cause her throat still on beginner. Boy, my trap on expert, been that way since a beginner. Word to baby Jesus, I hope he forgive a sinner. Ballin' on these niggas, they just monkeys in the middle. They get monkey when...
Produced by B. Haywood for Confirmed Podcast Network.
Hey, B. Haywood, Confirmed Podcast Network. Thank you for all the continued support. Continue to check out We Them Girls Podcast, as well as Big and Lazy Podcast on the Confirmed Podcast Network. We love you. Thank you for the support. And keep on listening. We got more content coming for y'all. Thank you.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.